This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The school year may be over, but the lessons continue for students making their way through the summer reading lists. For teachers, the summer is a time to reflect on one year and to prepare for the next. Among those is Nick Rapatrazone, a high school literature and creative writing teacher in New Jersey. Nick is also a staff writer for The Millions. That's where we found his post, 55 Thoughts for English Teachers, Practical Wisdom for Teachers, and Inspiration for Just About Anyone Else. Nick Rapatrazone, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're going to put you to the test. You have 55 Thoughts for English Teachers. We can't go through all of them, so where do we start? Is there one thought or theme that you think is most important?
I feel like trying to understand why students do what they do and are who they are as people. So that was number 16, kind of tucked almost like a quarter of the way through. And what I noticed was I kept on coming back to that idea of trying to recognize that each student is their own person. They have their own background, sort of story to even each day. And recognizing that, I think, is a first step to making the classroom successful, that you're not just talking to like an audience of people that you can't see. These are all individual people that you really need to understand. So I try to come back to that in a lot of the thoughts in the piece.
I noticed that many of your suggestions are encouragements or nudges or reminders that the onus is on you, the teacher, to not only communicate enthusiasm, but to be always enriching yourselves and really paying attention to who you're speaking to. How do you possibly do that for a whole classroom of students?
Well, I think you have to love any subject that you're teaching. And I think specifically with literature and creative writing, the humanities have to be filled with that sense of being human, of having opinion, of having voice. A lot of times an English course is something that is required of the student, but it might not seem as immediately applicable as kind of like a harder or more concrete discipline, something that they'll use in their profession or in their career. So what I need to do is kind of make each day different for them and to make something in that class something that can stay with them. And the fact that I love literature, the fact that I love words, hopefully that will translate to the students that are in the class.
Well, literature is one of the things that comes up a lot. Any advice on teaching kids how to read a text? I mean, not how to physically read it, but how to experience it.
I think each student needs to recognize that each text, whether it's a poem or a short story or a novel, must be encountered on its own terms. It's kind of like when you meet a new person. You can't engage with every person that you talk to in the same way. You have to kind of be a little bit of a chameleon as a person and as a reader. So you have to see what a text is offering you and get in that frame of mind.
You say on number four, speaking of poetry, they will hate it. They will hate the idea of it, but they will already love it and live the soul of it. And one of the suggestions you make is to give them this poem, Scary, No Scary, by Zachary Schomburg, and see what happens. Or you suggest blowing up a Gerard Manley Hopkins poem, you know, 20 times. What is it, just in communicating your own enthusiasm for a poem?
It starts with your own enthusiasm, but then it also, they need to kind of be reoriented from their very hectic day. In my school, we have 3,000 students. We have 6 minutes between classes. It's a very fast-paced day. And then they come into my class, and I'm asking them to read, in the kind of Gerard Hopkins example, I'm asking them to read a 19th-century British Jesuit priest and his idiosyncratic poetry. If I just place it on their desk and expect them to be interested or enjoy it, it won't work. I have to show them why the words are beautiful or why I think they're beautiful, to kind of connect it to their own usage of language. There really are language users constantly, whether it's Twitter and texts. They manipulate language in different ways. They compress it. They're basically doing what poets do, but they may not call themselves poets.
Poetry is one thing. How about other authors and books that you think kids will connect with? That's part of your job. Any particular authors that resonate with teens?
I think a lot of times students tend to be interested in a sense of originality and a sense of immediacy. And there's a writer, Blake Butler, whose short story, The Disappeared, which is about a pandemic that happens at a high school, but it's this kind of an underlying story about family troubles. And I lead off my advanced creative writing course with that story. It's kind of like the part literary, part sci-fi narrative. And they're used to reading science fiction and fantasy, but I'm trying to give them a little more of the literary character-based writing. So I almost meet them halfway in terms of content, but then I show them how a writer like Blake Butler can make things new again. And what happens is the more that they see that, kind of expand their reading horizons, and they start to read people like Flannery O'Connor, whose sense of the strange or the grotesque is kind of a cousin to their speculative or their fantasy fiction, but it's something that I can use to help them understand characterization, help them understand plot, and in maybe a more literary kind of way.
We're speaking with Nick Rapatrazone. He's a high school literature and creative writing teacher in New Jersey. He's also a staff writer for The Millions, where he wrote 55 Thoughts for English Teachers. One of the things that repeats itself in your list, Nick, is speaking to confusion. What's the importance of confusion in the classroom?
I think that confusion is the first step to getting students to accept the idea of ambiguity and complexity, whether it is in a text or in a just a life experience. So, for example, I'll give them a story, The Second Bakery Attack, by Haruki Murakami, which is about a couple that wants to find food late at night in Tokyo, and they go to a McDonald's, and it becomes like this confrontation, and it changes something that people would do every day, which is go get fast food, but it makes it sort of an odd action. It's late at night, it's very tense. So there's a moment when students read the story and they're not sure if it's serious, if it's comedic. And that moment of confusion allows me to kind of show them the possibility of language and possibility of story. And they start to be a little more open to things that are experimental, that are different. And in the same way, they can look at things that happen in their life and not expect everything to go the way that they want or every experience to be something that they can predict.
I also think about showing them the Iowa Review or the Missouri Review introduces them to a life of writers, which you are. This is you're a professional writer along with your teaching gig. Do you bring your work into the classroom or bring teaching maybe into your writing?
I never bring my own work into the class. The only thing I would ever show them of my own is like a draft. I'll bring in a, for example, there was this essay that I had in the Mississippi Review a few years ago, and the first draft that I had written, I really just annihilated the page. I basically crossed out, put X's through every single word and had all these marginal notes. And I showed them that really you can't publish unless you're willing to see that writing is mostly revision. It's mostly rethinking. So I like to, as opposed to saying to them that I publish this and that and have books, I try to show them my process as a writer and try to show them the struggle of being a writer and help them understand that you can get better, but you have to have the humility to recognize you really need help, you need editors, you need time.
Looking back on your high school days, anything that you wish you had been taught?
Well, I was lucky to have a creative writing class in high school. I only had one. It was called The Art of Writing. And I remember just getting comments back from my teacher being curious as to how I came up with these very random ideas that I had. I would have loved to have had the opportunity to take more of those kinds of courses because we only had that one class. But I had wonderful teachers in high school. I had a lot of great storytellers. So I kind of latched onto them and did a lot of independent studies where I was able to pursue really my own interests. And I've been able to now translate that to how I act as a teacher.
Nick Rapatrazone, thank you for sharing some of your 55 thoughts for teaching students. Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Nick Rapatrazone teaches high school literature and writing in New Jersey. He's also a staff writer for the online magazine The Millions. We have a link to his article, 55 Thoughts for English Teachers, on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And please, we'd love to hear from you. Was there a book your high school teacher assigned that has stayed with you? Maybe because you loved it, or maybe you hated it at the time and now appreciate it. Let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.